I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly permission to get in that mothership?
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. So just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
Gonna have a good day around here. Welcome inside a Wednesday edition of the DA Show. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. I'm sure you're inundated by political talk this morning after the debate last night, and so this is a safe zone for you. This morning, we've got Brian Billick, who's going to join us next hour, Super Bowl-winning coach and now the author of The Q Factor, Assessing and Grading Young Quarterbacks in This League. Coach Billick is going to join us on the show next hour. And in the final hour of the show, Tracy Wolfson from the NFL on CBS is going to drop on by. We're always excited to talk NFL with Tracy this morning on the show. We got a poll question this morning. And you may have just heard that audio clip that Pete dropped in just before the open played. And that was Mraz claiming that the biggest thing that he's missed this year because of baseball being without fans is a ballpark hot dog. And it's interesting that he brings this up because I saw a poll question on Twitter the other day. What do you miss most about no baseball? Is it not being around other fans, the atmosphere of the ballpark? Is it the food around the ballpark? Is it something else? And I said, it's the food around the ballpark. The food at the ballpark or a beer at the ballpark is what I miss most. You know, that's one of the biggest reasons I have a partial season ticket package to the New York Mets. Yeah, I love baseball, but I love having an excuse once a week, at the very least, to go out to the ballpark and just kind of be outside, have a beer, and have really great food. I mean, ballparks now are just filled with awesome food, and it's so enjoyable. And Citi Field is one of those places where you just have like 10 really good food options, and I just love being out there eating and drinking and enjoying a game. So yeah, missing a ballpark hot dog and with all the fixins or ballpark food is right in my wheelhouse as well. The problem was Mraz lost us when he said he's missing a dong to the face.
A stadium dong right to the face.
Now, he is insisting that everybody knows that that's a term for a hot dog. Now, Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, has done some research for us this morning. He is the brains behind Advanced Analytics, and he says he cannot find anything on hot dogs being called, quote, dongs. Now, Rob of the 321 says, never in my 47 years have I ever heard of a dong to the face. And Amy tweets, I'm dying right now. Can you please take a poll to see if anybody else refers to a hot dog as a dong to the face? So I think this is a good idea. That's today's poll question. Is Mraz the only one that refers to a hot dog as a dong to the face.
Oh, mama, yeah.
Maybe it's a Long Island thing.
You're telling me that a lot of your friends refer to a hot dog as having a, quote, dong to the face?
Yeah, I distinctly remember, I guess it was Father's Day on the grill, and I think it was my brother-in-law asking me if I wanted a dong. So, yeah, like, I definitely, and I never talked about hot dogs with him. So, definitely, this
Well,
is
are you
thing.
Sure it was a hot dog he was offering?
Well, of course, D.A. What else would it be? He was in front of a grill with hot dogs. Hey, you want a dong here? You want a little dong? A little ketchup? A little mustard? You want a little dong here?
You want a little dong?
I mean, it's just like calling a home run a dong. There's a dong deep to right field.
Well, that comes from ding dong, I think.
Okay, and dog and dong. They're close. It's one letter, so it's just like it's another cool way to say it.
Dan tweets, nope, Merez, wrong. You're wrong. I've heard taking something to the face or the head in regards to eating or drinking, but a dong to the face? Absolutely nobody in the free world calls a hot dog a damn dong.
Well, clearly there are, because I do. I'm really not trying to be funny. It's just like a slang way to call a hot dog. And again, this is what's great about doing a national show. You learn things, right? Like, there's Dan, you know, living close to Ole Miss, and he's never heard the term dong. All right? You got, you know, Rob in Topeka. He's never heard the term dong. Then you have, you know, me on Long Island. Okay, we take a dong to the face. So you learn these things, right? Like, this glizzy thing is new. People call certain, there's heroes, there's grinders, there's hoagies. Some people up in the Northeast call hot dogs dongs. Some people out there call them hot dogs. Some people call them wieners. Some people call them, I don't know, the Polish hot dogs, right? There are different things that you could call all of these things. Frankfurter, you're right. You never hear Frankfurter anymore. There's different words. So what? I call it a dong. I take a dong to the face. Big deal.
Cap has just tweeted, I think I've done enough damage to my internet history by Googling hot dongs.
Check your inbox later.
You guys need your mind out of the gutter. Enjoy a good hot dong.
Cap, you might want to clear your cookies. All right. For the Titans,
I think I might have figured this out before you change subjects.
Yeah.
Remember last week we floated the idea that maybe Sean's friends had planted misinformation to trick him all along and to see if he could figure it out. Maybe again somebody said to him, you know what you should call that? A hot dong to the face. And now they just sit back and laugh every time he keeps using it.
Everyone says it.
Everybody.
Everyone's
it's
doing
a Long
it.
Island thing.
Come on. Don't you want a little dong, Sean? Don't you want a little dong in your mouth? And take a dong to the face, Sean. Then they're all cackling behind the bushes.
Nothing better than a dong on a bun in the face.
Plenty. So that's today's poll question. Vote at CBS Sports Radio. We are truly tearing apart the credibility of CBS Sports
Radio's
Twitter handle.
Yeah, it's our last poll question. Maybe our last show. You never know.
I wonder why we only got 33 votes.
And then watch out. We're going to have 7,000 votes, and then Gelb's going to do this tomorrow night.
I got an interesting poll question. After our seventh guest.
So the Titans had an outbreak of COVID. They had a couple of staffers and a couple of players test positive, and now the NFL is trying to figure out what to do. There is one plan in place that suggests that the Titans, if this does not settle down over the course of the week, could actually end up playing Monday or Tuesday. They were scheduled to play the Pittsburgh Steelers coming up on Sunday, which is a big deal, by the way. These are two of the better teams in the AFC, the Titans and the Steelers. So it's a big deal. It's a big game. And we don't know if the Titans are going to be able to play on Sunday. Might be moved to Monday or Tuesday. Now, for the moment, the Titans are not going to be able to practice together or even meet at the facility together. Everything is going to be virtual over the course of this week. They may have a walkthrough on Saturday, but that's in question. So the Titans may have to go through coaching, quote unquote, and learning and practice all virtually, all digitally, online only all week, and then come together maybe for a walkthrough Saturday, maybe not, and play a football game against a 3-0 Steelers team on Sunday. For what it's worth, we've had players tweeting that they want to play and that throwing the schedule off and playing Monday or Tuesday would be worse. They prefer just to play on Sunday. So I don't know, of course, if you're fearful of playing, maybe you wouldn't tweet. If you're more, if you have more bravado, you're more confident about playing, maybe you would tweet. So I don't know if that's a fair representation of how all the players feel. But this brings up a question. When I saw this story break yesterday, I mean, almost like 11 minutes after the show ended, I thought about how we actually broached this subject yesterday. Remember I said, what do you think would happen if the NFL actually had a COVID outbreak? Do you think people would care? Do you think that it would be a notable story? Because we've had individual players test positive, they don't play, but it's really swept under the rug because people just want their football. And so, Mraz, I'll throw this out now because this is the biggest COVID story that we've had in the NFL. Do you think people care about this, are worried about this, or are distracted, let's say, by this because it's COVID in the NFL and it's a big deal in terms of this specter of the story comparatively?
Well, I think people care because anytime there's a COVID, if you will, rash or potential for an outbreak, there are going to be obviously a segment of the population who overly freaks out about it. Then there's going to be a segment of people that just throw it like there's completely nothing. And I think you need to find some middle ground. I think the truth of the matter is somewhere in the middle. Yeah, people are freaking out because this is the NFL and they don't want to see games canceled. Or you have people freaking out that thought that football shouldn't have been played anyway and are going, aha, this is why you can't be doing it. And I think the reality is the NFL is just going to find a way to get through this and press on. And I think yesterday the irony of this happening in the NFL to the Titans was the Major League Baseball postseason starting and remembering how many people did this and said this with the Marlins, which seemed to be a far worse situation. And that was a spot where we were canceled almost 2 weeks worth of games. And there we are starting the playoffs yesterday. The MLB found a way to the finish line. So to hear this news yesterday and think it's worst case scenario for the NFL, I think it's just a little relax. I think we all know that this is stuff we're living with and we're living through and we're finding ways to get over it. And the NFL and the Titans and the Vikings, we're going to be just fine and we're going to figure out a way to get past this.
There's a couple of big advantages the NFL has right now. Number one, they've got rapid testing. And right. So they're getting test results back constantly. So if they have guys that are testing positive, you can immediately remove them without having to wait days to get that result and not knowing if in the meantime they've infected people. Number two, they've got this technology with the bracelets where everybody in the facility wears a bracelet and it tracks if you're within 6 feet of one another. And it also tracks how long you're within 6 feet of one another and who you've been in contact with. So in terms of contact tracing, maybe you've gone some places where you had to write down your name and address or your name and phone number so that if there's an outbreak, they can contact you or you can contact them, et cetera. But the NFL is doing this all with a tracker in your bracelet. Yeah. So these guys, their movements and their interactions being tracked. So the NFL is ahead of the game of having control over the situation. I'm with you, Mraz. I think that this is not that big a deal. I think that when Roger Goodell says we were prepared for something like this, he's not lying, and he's not just doing a kind of like this kind of sleight of hand. I think that he's telling the truth. I think the NFL went into this season knowing that this is a possibility. It's a probability that you'll have positive tests. You'll have multiple positive tests on a team, and you had to figure out ways to get around it, and if they have other positives, they may have to cancel the game, but they may have to just delay the game until a Monday or Tuesday until it's safe enough to play or they have enough players. But I don't think in any way, shape, or form this puts the season at risk for the Titans, the Vikings, or the NFL.
No, there's no chance. And the only thing I'll say just real quickly about the NFL and the bracelets, because a lot of people give them credit, I mean, I am obviously a very novice person when it comes to science and health, as we've talked about often on the show. Aren't these players just on top of each other anyway? Like, how they're playing with each other, they're in the locker room. Aren't they just all with each other and within 6 feet at some point? Like, what are those bracelets going to accomplish, right? Doesn't that confuse you a little bit?
Certainly, like you mean like playing football in the huddle, on the offensive line, guarding one another. I think in the facility.
Okay.
they're trying to create social distancing. But you're right, when it comes to actually playing football and practicing football, right, there's no way to do that.
So to me, I would think every Titan is probably coming close contact, you would think, with whoever tested positive. But look, the flexibility's there. And if you can't play on a Monday or Tuesday, if you do have a little mini outbreak, there's no reason why the NFL can't create, and they put flexibility in the schedule to move the Super Bowl back or move playoffs back if they had to, basically a fake Week 18, where if you had to have a couple games played, if you even need them played for playoff purposes at the end of the year, you play a week after Week 17 to make sure the schedule gets completed. This is different than baseball, where it was, oh my goodness, where are we going to cram doubleheaders? The once-a-week spot for the NFL, I think, helps them so much when it comes to figuring out how to play a season and how to navigate, because there's far less scheduling conflicts that come into this. So that's another reason I'm just not worried about it.
Yep, absolutely right. One game a week with these large rosters, and then a taxi squad you can pick players from, a league practice squad you can pick players from. They've thought of a lot of the possibilities here, and I don't think this is going to be the last one. I think there's going to be other positive tests this year. We've already had a couple, but just sparingly, one player on this team, one player on that team. But this has happened already. This just happens to be enough to where they have to shut down the facility. But I don't think this puts at risk the season, the Titans. It is interesting. This is a big game in the AFC, so that if it does have to get canceled, it would definitely have to be rescheduled if they could for playoff purposes. You would imagine that either the Titans or the Steelers or both teams are in the playoff picture. But I think that this is going to be one situation of multiple situations this year where the NFL kind of walks through it. And in things like this, the way that I feel is people need to take COVID seriously, but not freak out, and it can't paralyze you forever. And so if it just keeps you on your guard and it keeps you, you know, thoughtful and sensible, which this is the type of thing that can do it. It did it in baseball with the Marlins. It flipped everybody away from being lazy and getting lazy about, you know, not taking it seriously. You know, that's where I think you want the bar. And
absolutely,
I think that's what something like this could do. Hey, just a reminder, guys, keep making sure you stay disciplined. Keep making sure you do sensible, smart, pragmatic things. Because if we do get lazy, then it can upset the apple cart. And then it's a headache for everybody. When we come back here on the show, we are stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Laugh and learn every morning aboard the mothership.
Jeff Passan joins us this morning on the show.
How did I do? Did I sound awake?
Yeah, you did a great job today. It was awake. You were crisp. I thought that was an A-plus effort.
I feel so good to hear that. Thank you, DA. You're the best. Even if you lie to me, I still love you.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Sunday, an NFL on CBS doubleheader with the Brady's Bucks hosting the Chargers, or an interconference matchup between the Colts and the Bears. In the second game, most of you will see Cam of the Patriots in Kansas City for a meeting with Mahomes of the Chiefs. Coverage begins with the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. And thanks, everybody, for watching. There's so many ways you can watch the show. You can watch us by going to watchda.com. That's available on any device, anywhere. Also, you are available to watch us on Twitch if you are a Twitch user. Find the CBS Sports Radio channel on Twitch. Or you can watch us inside the radio.com app. Plus, the best of clips are posted to YouTube every single morning. Tonight, the NBA Finals tips off with Game 1, Lakers and Heat. And I think if you are a basketball fan, or really a sports fan in general, I would savor this NBA Finals, because it could be LeBron's last. It doesn't seem like that, doesn't feel like that, because LeBron is still at a very, very high level. But it's possible this is his last. It is extraordinary that he has been to 9 NBA Finals in the last 10 years. And so thus, we take it for granted. It's Jan, LeBron to the NBA Finals again. Did he win it? If he didn't win the NBA Finals, does it matter? And I always find that to be such a joke. I mean, the fact that he played the final basketball game of the season, now 10 times in his career. It's just ridiculous. And 9 out of the last 10, and went to 8 consecutive NBA finals with 2 different franchises. It is remarkable. I mean, of course, he's not going to tie or pass Michael for rings. He's got 3. Michael has 6. He's not going to win 3 more, I don't believe. And Magic, of course, has 5 championships. I guess there's an outside chance LeBron could win 2 more. But even so, I don't really think that that matters, because if you distill it down to that, I think you're really missing the point. And we do this all the time in sports. We do this all the time in conversations about a million other things. People just distill it down to kind of this idiotic baseline without any nuance or any context. LeBron James has gone to 10 NBA finals, which, if any, even say Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady's been to 9 Super Bowls. That's just totally insane. Just the fact that you could go to 9 Super Bowls, the fact that LeBron's in 10 NBA finals, whether you go 0 for 10 or not, is almost unfathomable in today's NBA, because there's so many teams, there's so much scrutiny, there's so much pressure. It's not like the Celtics of the 50s and 60s going to 8 straight. It's nothing like that. They had to win like 1 playoff series to be in the NBA finals. There was like 6 total decent teams and like 3 really good ones. You know, today's NBA is so much more difficult, and today's sports is so much more difficult than doing what those old teams did. But more than that, there's subtlety and context to all of these NBA Finals appearances. I mean, in 2007, LeBron had no business being in the NBA Finals, with his second-best player perhaps being Boobie Gibson or Drew Gooden. So to lose to the Spurs that year, I mean, of course, what's he supposed to do? He's a one-player team against a dynasty in its prime. You know, he gets to the NBA Finals in 2015, and Kyrie and Kevin Love are both injured. And his second-best player that series was Matthew Dellavedova. He's supposed to beat the Splash Brothers, who are totally healthy, with Matthew Dellavedova being his second-best player. And he had a 2-1 series lead in that. You know, with the Heat, the loss to the Mavericks is a bad loss. There's no doubt about it. They're still finding their way in 2011 when they lose to the Mavericks. But there's no sin in losing to the Spurs in that final season when LeBron is averaging a triple-double in the NBA Finals and nobody else is doing anything for him with the Heat. And they run up against, again, the Spurs with Kawhi at an incredible level, and they're the Spurs. They're deep and they're good and they're structured. There's no sin in losing to that team. And then also he loses back-to-back NBA Finals to, perhaps, this is not even hyperbole, the most talented basketball team ever assembled, the Kevin Durant Warriors. He loses back-to-back years where just very obviously there was nobody in the NBA that really could be at that level that the Warriors were on in those 2 years. So if you start really picking apart, I mean, the losses of the NBA Finals are not, they were supposed to lose those NBA Finals. It would have been a strike of God to not lose the NBA Finals. So just by being here, it's not always going to be this way. And I mean, I think we're seeing this right now with a guy like Brady. It's not always going to be that way. And I remember feeling this way when Michael was in his prime. And then you go back and you watch a documentary like The Last Dance and realize even that which felt interminable. If you were a basketball fan like I was in the 90s, it felt like as long as Michael was playing, they were going to be in the NBA Finals and win. It felt like it would never end. It is fleeting. It is temporary. Everything does end in sports. And, you know, like, the Patriots are not going to go back to the Super Bowl for a while now. They're nice. They're good. Cam Newton's good. They're not getting through the AFC playoffs this year. They're not winning Super Bowls. Like, it is fleeting. It is temporary. Everything that feels like it's permanent is temporary. And so LeBron being in the NBA Finals tonight, to me, if you're just a sports fan, you just enjoy it. And I know there's a lot of people that kind of strangely dislike LeBron for whatever reason. You have your own reasons, fine. But it's kind of bizarre to me to dislike him, because you're just watching one of the greatest ever to do it, and it's not going to be there forever. This could absolutely be the last dance, if you will, for LeBron being in the NBA Finals. It feels like it's inevitable that he always goes. It feels like he'll always be there, but he won't. He won't. So tonight, they'll tip off Game 1 NBA Finals. It won't be regular, normal. It's going to not be at the Staples Center. It's going to be at an arena in Orlando in a neutral site without fans. So it's not going to feel necessarily the same, but it's for everything. It's for a title. It's for a championship. It's for a ring. And it's just not always going to be there. You know, I not to get morbid, but this is like, you know, when you're around your parents or your grandparents, you just think that they'll live forever. They won't. You know, you just don't know when things end. You don't know your jobs and your lives and your family and things that change and move on. You know, when you're in college, you think that you'll be there forever. And then you look back and you go like, wow, I was only there for 4 years. It felt like so long, but I was there for 4 years and that's it. You know, you have these moments. You're dating a certain person or you're married to a certain person. You think it's going to be forever and it's just not. In the sports world, things like Brady being in every Super Bowl, LeBron being in every NBA Finals feels like it will go on forever, and it doesn't. It doesn't. So I'm really intrigued by the NBA Finals. I think the Lakers win relatively easily. I think it's a 5 or 6 game series. But I also think that we might just not get another chance to watch one of the greatest ever to do it at this stage again. So you got to enjoy it. Standing by is Andrew Bogish, who has our headlines this morning. AB, good morning.
DA, good morning again. So we again start in Paris with the French Open. Serena Williams withdrew last hour before her second round match. She's blaming an Achilles injury she's had since the U.S. Open after one match in Paris. She doesn't think she could get through the rest of the 2 weeks. And then there was that explosion. Now, this is audio from Stan Wawrinka and Dominic Kopfer's match. Now, what you can't see is the two of them looking at each other. Kopfer was about to serve, looking, shrugging, awkwardly smiling, not sure what to do. They kept playing. The tournament says that was a fighter jet flying above, not an explosion. And I guess by now we would know if it was an actual explosion. So just a scary moment that, in essence, wasn't actually scary.
Yeah, it didn't sound like a fighter jet any of us have ever heard, but this happened over an hour ago. So you would think if it was actually an explosion of some type, a dangerous explosion, we would have some information about it by now.
Yeah. On the court right now, Wawrinka has won the first two sets of that match from Kopfer, and Victoria Azarenka is down her first set to Anna Karolina Shmedlova. Rafael Nadal and Coco Gauff play later today. The Yankees jumped on Shane Bieber immediately last night in Cleveland. Aaron Judge, a 2-run homer on Bieber's fourth pitch. Gleyber Torres and Brett Gardner also went deep, while Gerrit Cole K'd 13-7 for a 12-3 win to start this best of three. The Astros, a 4-1 win in Minnesota. The Rays smothered the Blue Jays 3-1, and the White Sox were 4-1 winners in Oakland. Lucas Giolito retired the first 18 A's he faced. Now, let me see if I can get this right. Giolito wasn't a pig postgame about being nice to his teammates.
A bit of relief getting that first postseason start out of the way. I'm glad that it was a good one. But today it was all about the team. I mean, we came ready to play on both sides of the field.
Definitely not a pig.
Now, pig? All four... Now, hold on. Do you think yesterday, when we played Bob Melvin, do you think the early start or why the A's bats were asleep yesterday?
Hell no. That was all Lucas Giolito.
Not. Of course
That was
not.
All how brilliant he was dealing. And he is a great pitcher. And because of his development this year is why the White Sox were in the playoffs. And it had nothing to do with start time.
Of course. And by the way, the White Sox had to adjust to the West Coast time. Shouldn't they have been at more of a disadvantage? Just a reminder of how ridiculous Bob Melvin was with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All four game twos in the AL, all four game ones in the NL are on today's schedule. It starts at noon Eastern with the Reds and Braves. It ends at 10 Eastern with the Dodgers and Brewers. Milwaukee going with a bullpen game for that one, starting with lefty Brent Suter.
By the way, I hate to interrupt again. Just reminder of where we were. Watching Ed and Eddie, and today on a Wednesday, starting at noon, we get 8 baseball playoff games into the NBA Finals at 9 p.m. Can we just take a second to acknowledge what an amazing day we have compared to where we were at points during this pandemic without sports?
Considering this week we will have 8 different Major League Baseball playoff series, the NBA Finals, a full slate of college football and NFL games, this is truly one of the greatest stretches any sports fan will ever, ever experience. It is all happening at the same time.
Unbelievable. Let's go.
The not to be Debbie Downer, the Titans did play as nose tackle Daquan Jones, long snapper Bo Brinkley, and practice squad tight end Tommy Hudson on their COVID-19 list yesterday. Those are the three players, plus five personnel employees that have the virus in Tennessee, all said to be asymptomatic. The Titans facility is closed maybe until Saturday. The Vikings are also shut down because they played the Titans last weekend. No decision yet on this Sunday's games. That's the Titans hosting the Steelers and the Vikings in Houston. In regular NFL news, those Texans are passing on free agent safety Earl Thomas for now, and Eagles tight end Dallas Goedert and Chargers corner Chris Harris Jr. went on IR yesterday. Goedert has a small ankle fracture. Harris has a foot injury. As DA just mentioned, the NBA Finals begin tonight. Eric Spoelstra just embarrassed Brad Stevens. Frank Vogel may be his next victim, but the Lakers head coach at least knows what to expect from the Heat.
Play hard, play together. You know, they always play that way. They have great toughness, high care factor on the defensive end, and, you know, they always trust the pass, you know, and it's just a physical, tough-minded brand of basketball with their culture, with Coach Spo's teams.
Tip-off at Disney is shortly after 9 Eastern tonight. NASCAR is removing Chicagoland and Kentucky Speedway from next season's Cup schedule. Both tracks confirmed the move last night ahead of today's official announcement. And the Las Vegas Aces held off the Connecticut Sun 66-63 in their fifth and decisive game last night. 23 points and 11 boards for Asia Wilson. Up next is the Seattle Storm in the finals starting on Friday night. Now, let's get stunned.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
A little expansion this morning. The Wizard of Watch DA expanding his wings, increasing his control over this show, submitting this story for stunned to a news.
We need more of Cap's influence on this show. There's no doubt about it.
It seems to have no explanation. Late Sunday night at Prospect Park Lake in Brooklyn, a man stumbled upon another man dumping two garbage bags full of something into the water. The weirdo, as described by the New York Daily News, was tossing an estimated 100 eels into the lake. One of the bags broke before being emptied, so there were eels on the sidewalk freaking out other people. Some other eels apparently came back out of the water. The weirdo didn't listen to anyone telling him to stop. He said he was just saving lives of eels, I assume. We don't know where the eels came from. I don't know if they need to be removed from the lake. The guy walked away before any park ranger or cop showed up. So this lake in Brooklyn, at last check, has an extra 100-plus eels because a dude had eels to dump in the lake on Sunday.
This is one of the most New York City stories ever. If you've never been to Prospect Park or seen Prospect Park in pictures, I lived not far from there for many years with my now wife, and it's a beautiful, bucolic park. It's kind of like the Central Park of Brooklyn. And so it's large and leafy, huge, huge old growth trees. There's baseball diamonds in it for rec leagues and little leagues and soccer parks. And it's just a place where people play frisbee, but then also you can do nature walks. It's huge. I mean, it's enormous. You can bike, you can jog. You'll never be able to see every part of it because it's just a huge, sprawling, beautiful park in the middle of Brooklyn. So it's one of these moments of serenity in the middle of a crazy city. And yet, here is a crazy man dressed in white, apparently, that has garbage bags full of eels and putting them in the lake, saying he's saving lives. It's like the most perfect New York City paradox, that there are these moments of beauty and, you know, wonder, and it's combined with, you can never get too high on your horse. You can never feel too comfortable around here because there's always a weirdo with two trash bags worth of eels he wants to drag into the park. You know, and apparently this is not the first time things like this have happened in Prospect Park. Apparently they found chicken heads in Prospect Park not many years ago. Somebody also seemed to sacrifice a goat or something in Prospect Park. Like, there's always something totally bizarre. And I will tell you, having jogged in Prospect Park before and having walked in Prospect Park, there's always one guy that you're like, wow, I'm not going to go within 100 yards of that guy because that guy looks like the type of guy that would drop two trash bags worth of eels in a lake.
That might be a bag of eels over his shoulder.
So yes, I'm going to exactly. Stay away from him. Yes, yes, that's exactly right. I also love the Daily News attempt at journalism on something like this. You might think, wow, this is a beautiful bucolic park, and this is definitely endangering the welfare of the nature in a very kind of like delicate ecosystem. Here's how the Daily News led the story. Quote, it was an eely bad idea and also illegal.
Next on Canadian Bacon.
We're not even trying here, Daily News. We're not even trying to take this seriously. This is just a Canadian Bacon bit.
I was going to say that guy took a real eel turn.
Ooh.
That's right. Better. That's better.
Pete likes that one.
It doesn't count.
I know we can't do an animal story without a little Marez zoology, so let me just ask this, because I'm aware of eels. I understand the whole deal. I was always under the assumption they were dangerous. Is it just the electric eel that is dangerous? And, two-parter, don't they belong in the ocean, not a pond in Prospect Park? Like, it wouldn't have been that far for this guy to go to Rockaway Beach or whatever and dump them in the ocean. Wouldn't that have made more sense?
I do believe that the only dangerous eels are the electric eels. I think you're right on that. I think there's a lot of river eels as well. Who knows what types of eels these were, and who knows how he got his hands on nearly 100 eels? But there are river eels.
Okay. All right. So there you go. Multiple branches of eels. There's a lot of eels out there. So maybe
so this guy has trash bags worth of eels, and one of the bags tears open on the sidewalk,
It's full of eels.
Causing 20 or so eels to be slithering around the sidewalk in the park. And people are coming up with these 20 eels being like, ew, what is that? Are those snakes? It's like, no, it's just a pile of eels. Like, could you imagine going for a jog at Prospect Park on Sunday and just coming upon a pile of eels on the sidewalk?
It's like Jumanji. It's also interesting that the eels can slither out of the water. You would think just a water animal, but apparently not. Apparently they can crawl on sidewalk.
Yeah, I don't know about that. So these eels were jumping out of the pond?
In there is a paragraph in there where maybe he didn't throw them deep enough and they were able to slither their way back out. I don't know how long they can stay out of water, but they apparently were on the sidewalk and on like the river, the lake side, like the lake bank.
This guy who's been called a, quote, weirdo multiple times in the story by the Daily News. Again, there is no attempt at journalism here. He's just being called a weirdo.
Is that a medical term?
Said, quote, you don't need to call the cops, I save lives. Anytime somebody says you don't need to call the cops, I save lives, when he's holding a trash bag worth of eels, means you definitely should call all of the cops.
Yes.
Every single one of them.
But again, was he saving the eels' lives, or are those eels ready to attack humans and then throwing them in the lake? He's now saving human lives because the eels are no longer a danger to them? Whose lives was he saving here?
Oh, no. This guy is like Painkiller Pat. He says that he bought them from a store. I mean, do you really think a guy buys 100 eels and drags them to Prospect Park? I mean, who?
Costco had a great deal.
The most New York story ever. Who wants to go back to the studios? When we come back here on the show, Jimbo Fisher has been paid a lot of money to turn around that Texas A&M program. And maybe you missed Saturday's A&M game, but if you caught it, you saw that right now he looks like a fraud. We'll tell you about it coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Big upside.
Good morning, buddy. I love your show, man. I'm happy for you. I couldn't be more happy for you, man. Couldn't be more happier. I just like you in general, man. And I follow you on Twitter. I just couldn't be more happier for you, man. There's a lot of people out there that just can't accept that. People like you, they give it to them. It just couldn't be more happier for you.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Well, I'm happy for you as well. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. The DA show is available in podcast form, including the PGP, the permission granted podcast, the show about the show within the show. So check it out. This week's PGP available on its own podcast feed or the DA Show podcast feed. Another round of swing or a miss, or AB and Mraz grayed out my clever headlines or not so clever headlines from the show's work week. And Mraz and I go inside a trip to the country for him and his beautiful wife, along with whether his wife is really at wit's end with his nonsense every single morning. That's this week's PGP. By the way, how's the household this morning, Mraz?
Household was okay. I did get a glaring look down the stairs and a rumble from my wife during the dong conversation, as if, here you go again. Then I heard a loud thud, a door slam, and there is no child or wife here at the moment, so that is good. We have extinguished them for this morning, so I think they've just had enough. Who knows where they are at this point, and away we go.
Can I please encourage you to vote in our web poll today, everybody, at CBS Sports Radio? Mraz insists that calling a hot dog a dong to the face is common parlance. We are trying to convince him it is not. If you don't vote in
enough.
this, the poll doesn't work. So
enough
please
with the
vote
big words.
At CBS Sports Radio. Please vote. Is Mraz the only one that refers to a hot dog as a dong to the face? What were you saying?
Common parlance? Who uses that? I understand you went to Syracuse. We get it. You had a great education. Common parlance? What is this, the British government? Nobody says that. Nobody says common parlance. That's two big words you dropped this week. I don't remember what the other one was. It was either Monday or Tuesday, and it was ultra big. We don't need the big words.
Why are you intimidated by my vocabulary?
I'm not intimidated by your vocabulary. I've been watching a lot of vocabulary, so I'm learning a lot of other things. But I do think that sometimes you like to flex with a big word here where I got news for you. I don't think that Dixieland Dan knows what common parlance is.
Well, I think you are, number one, discounting the intelligence of all of our listeners, including Dixieland Dan. Just because he lives in the South doesn't mean he's an idiot.
No,
like
that's not what
it's to be.
No,
I don't know why you picked out randomly Dixieland Dan doesn't know what a big word means. That's not fair to him at all.
Well, that's not true. I know Dixieland Dan from DMing him. I could see that he... Never mind. I'm walking. You know what? Now that I'm saying this out loud, that probably looks bad for him. I just think that's a big word that I don't know, and I don't think it's fair.
It's not fair to use words that you don't know.
Because they're not common. Now, I do want to learn things every day. I've stated that. So I don't think that it's a problem if I could learn. But, like, I don't know what that meant just now. I don't know what common parlance meant. And I think my point is, I bet you that there is a segment of our listeners who also don't know what common parlance is. And I keep thinking it's like parliament, like the government. But I still don't know. Does that just mean, like, etiquette?
The definition of parlance, a particular way of speaking or using words, especially a way common to those with a particular job or interest. So it's just a way of saying things.
Okay. Where did you learn that? Did you learn that at Syracuse? Did you learn that in high school? Because I've never learned
that. It's not like
we
go through vocabulary class at colleges, okay? What I do that you don't is I read books. And when I read books... You know, they always say that your reading vocabulary is so much larger than your speaking vocabulary.
Huh.
So when you read a book, you can see a word like parlance. You might not know what it means, but you understand it in context. You'll see it. It'll make sense in the book that you're reading. And so you kind of understand what it is. And the more that you see it, the more that you read it, the more that you digest it, the more that you understand how it can be used, and then you can use it. And I don't mean this to... education shame you, because I didn't go into this segment wanting to do this.
I know.
You brought it up, and you created this kind of like, let's all stop and let's now gather around Mraz because he needs the attention, because we couldn't just go through me saying something without, you know, making it about you not knowing it.
Okay, fair.
It's that you just don't read anything. You'll read some ESPN.com stories and some CBS Sports Radio stories, but you will not read a book. You have refused to read any book that I've asked you to read or encouraged you to read. Even if it's a sports book, you won't do it. So how do you think your vocabulary is going to get any larger if you're only reading like sports stories from CBSSports.com?
You just answered an important question. I was going to ask you, when you see parliaments, how do you find out? You said you see it in multiple books. Now I know. That was learning something. That's how you learn your vocabulary.
It's not parliaments. It's parlance.
Parlance. Parlance. I'm sorry. We'll get to Jimbo. That was my fault. That's on me.
Next, we'll learn the letter Q.
I'll sit it out.
I don't understand how we get anything done ever here on the show. How do we ever get anything done on the DA show?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.